that up for me, please. So turn with me in your scriptures to Acts. We're finishing today, we're finishing our series called What is Next? Four places on the road of discipleship. Four places on the road of discipleship. We've been talking, if you haven't been here, or if you've, you know, maybe if you listen online, if you were gone, but we've been talking about after the disciples encountered Jesus, Jesus rose from the grave, he went back to heaven, he said, hey, go wait in Jerusalem, I'm going to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to baptize you with the Spirit, and you're going to go out and be a witness and do mighty things in my name. But he told him to go and wait, and we talked about how, have you ever encountered a situation or something where you've been perplexed at what to do next? Or have you told yourself, what's next, right? And so that's what we've been talking about. In the road of being a disciple of Jesus, sometimes we face things in our life where we're like, well, what's next? What's the next step for us? And we've been talking about just four pathways or four roads on the path of discipleship. We've been talking about waiting in your life. We've been talking about praying. We've been talking about going last week. And then today we're going to finish and talk about telling. What does it mean to go and tell people about Jesus? What does that look like? Last week, if you're here, we talked about these four things just as a review. We talked about going to places we are familiar with, going to places big and small, going with regularity, and answering the call to go. If you remember, that's the Isaiah text where Isaiah said, Lord, send me, I'll go. And so that's what we talked about last week about going, about as disciples of Christ, we are called to go. Some of us are called to go to Sioux City, woohoo, all right? Some of you love being here, right? Some of you are called to maybe go to Nebraska. Man, that's a mission field down there, right? Or maybe North Sioux City, maybe some South Dakotians. Maybe that's a mission field, right, Ron? We know. Right, but some of you are called maybe to go overseas or go to a new city in America, or maybe you're called to go South America, wherever. But God calls us all to go somewhere with his message. But when we go there, we just can't go and then just sit down and be quiet. It's to go and proclaim. And today we're going to talk about telling. And I want to preface this. Once again, you've heard me say this many times, but once again, being a witness for Jesus, going and bearing witness is not based upon personality. Aren't you thankful for that? That God gives strength to the timid, but he also takes those that are maybe a little extroverted and kind of calms them down and says, hey, be self-controlled a little bit. But being a witness, going and telling is not based upon your personality, whether you're an extrovert, introvert, in the middle. It's all about your love for Jesus and how much he's transformed your life and that joy that lives inside of you. How does that come out? And what do you do with that joy and that new life he's given you? And so this week, we're going to be talking about telling. In Genesis 1:3, does anybody know what Genesis 1:3 says? It says, and God said, let there be light. God said, he spoke out loud. We know this. He used his words, his little words created our universe. Then in Exodus 3:7-10, Moses encounters God at the burning bush. And it says this in Exodus 3:7-10. It says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the opposition and oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God spoke and said, let there be light. God spoke to Moses and said, you need to go. You need to go. And in Exodus 5, we know that classic scene, or if you've seen the old Ben-Hur movie, when Charlton Heston spoke to to your old Brenner there in the movie, where he says, you know, let my people go. In Scripture, it says in Exodus 5:1, it says, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may go hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Once again, Moses was sent, and he went, but he didn't just show up and be quiet. What did he do? He had to open his mouth and speak. Something had to come out. Just like God the Father created our world by speaking, he sends you and I out into the world to go, but we have to open our mouths. I mean, what would have happened if Moses would have went to Pharaoh and just sat down and be quiet? I mean, we know, okay, that's silly, Dan. You know, he wouldn't have done that. But think about it. Moses could have sat and been quiet, but he went and he spoke. And today I want to remind us, Jesus talked to us and reminded us in Mark 16:15, where he told him, he says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He didn't just say, just go. He said, go and proclaim. There was a going and a speaking. And today I want to talk to you about telling. How do we tell the gospel to others? And why is it so important for you and I to go and tell others and not be so fixated on our personality or be fixated on, maybe I'm not good with big crowds or maybe I'm better with little crowds. It doesn't matter. We're called to go and to tell. And there's four ways we can do that. And so let's look at our scripture here. Here's our main text today for telling, about telling others about Jesus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Now, we're not going to read all this at length, but we're going to read a good portion of it here. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it was only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel.'" In this scripture here, we know it's a familiar portion of passage of scripture where Peter stands up and goes through explaining what was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. They spoke in other languages that were known in that ancient time. And some people thought they were drunk, but Peter goes on to explain, no, this is the power, this is the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus gave. And he goes on through the rest of the verses here into 41, just speaking and declaring God's wonderful timing and praise of why was the Spirit given. But in here, look at a few things here. Look at verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice." He stood up and he used his voice. Once again, Peter didn't just stand up and be silent. He stood up and had to speak. How many of you have ever stood up to say something and you got nervous to say it? Yeah, we all have, right? Yeah, I'll raise my hand. I'm up here too. I'm the pastor, right? Sometimes we get energized to do something. We stand up and then we either shrink back from saying it, or we second judge ourselves. Or we think, well, I'm going to look stupid, or there's a million excuses we give. But Peter stood up here, and remember, these were his peers. These were his fellow Israelites. He could have thought, well, man, they're not going to listen to me. I mean, they probably know where I grew up. I mean, they know my mom and dad. They know I was just the fisherman. He could have thought of a million reasons to be quiet, but he stood up. And he spoke and addressed the crowd. Look at verse 38. Go down to verse 38 here in chapter 2. Now, Peter opened his mouth and he says all this stuff. But then in 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 39, "For the promises for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Amen. Peter doesn't tell him about what the Holy Spirit was. He tells him what is the purpose of Jesus and all that. Once again, he speaks with clarity. He speaks to a point in part. And then in verse 40, it says, "With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying." Once again, Peter didn't just give a few words. He kept going on explaining the word of God to them. Now let's jump over to the next chapter. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 9. Go to the next chapter here. Verses 2 through 9. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple. The preface is they were going up to the temple at the ninth hour of prayer. And it says, "And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. And this man asked for alms to the entrance of those that were entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John. And he said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.' And he took him up by the right hand and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praised God." Once again, Peter went in and him and John, they could have went in and just said, "Look at this guy," and say, "Oh, forget him," and keep walking. But what they did, once again, they spoke. And from their speaking came a miracle. Let's keep going on here. Look, go over to chapter 4, verse 1. And in these first five chapters, what I'm highlighting is you're seeing the disciples didn't just receive the Spirit and then just stay put and be quiet. They got up and they addressed. They spoke of what the Lord was doing in their inner life, on the inside. And in chapter 4, verse 1, once again, we see Peter and John. It says, "As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Once again, we see they were speaking to them. Let's keep moving on here. Chapter 4, jump down to verse 13 through 20. It says in 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated common men and were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." This boldness, how did they recognize the boldness of Peter and John? They recognized their boldness by their speaking, by their action. They were verbally demonstrating the power of God and communicating all that Jesus had taught them. Then jump down in chapter 4. Jump down to verse 33 with me. 4:33. And this follows after the priest warned him not to say anything, to be quiet, don't speak up, don't do anything. And down in verse 33 of chapter 4, it says, "And with great power the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Once again, we see the disciples were speaking out loud. They could have been fearful. They could have sat back. They could have been scared of the priests, the Sadducees, the temple guard, the people, the Jewish people that were saying that Jesus isn't the Messiah. Be quiet, shut up. But the disciples stood up with bravery and with boldness, and they kept preaching and testifying to that. So once again, in all these verses here, we see a constant movement of speaking, of going, of raising up their voices here. And so today I just want to put before you just four simple ways to tell others about the good news of Jesus. How many of you would ever raise your hand and say, I've been intimidated to share the gospel with someone? I'll raise my hand. How many of you at times, maybe you're younger or whatever, you meet somebody, you encounter, you're like, oh, I need to tell this person about Jesus, and you get there, and sometimes you just, you clam up, or you second guess yourself, or you think, is that me, or is that the Spirit, or is that, is that yesterday's pizza I ate, or is that the Holy Spirit telling me to talk to him? You're like, right? We need to have boldness at the church. This is the hour you and I have been put here. As Acts 17 says, we are here for this specific reason. In this specific time, we are here to share the gospel. And I want to encourage us today, there's four things you can do and four ways to tell others about the gospel of Jesus. The first is this. Look at Acts 2, 38 through 40. We read it already, but I want to highlight this. Is when we tell others about the good news, we have to include repentance, forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look what Peter did. Look what he said in chapter 2, verse 38. We just read it. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, sometimes repentance and calling people on their sin can get a bad name in today's culture or the church, right? You want to butter them up. Oh, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Yes and yes and yes. However, what we just read, did anybody feel condemned in that verse? No, there's a hope in there. There's an amendance. Yes, I am in need of forgiveness. I need to repent, but there's a gift of life and a promise in that verse. When we tell others about Jesus, and many of you know this, we've had to incorporate repentance and forgiveness of sins. We have to call people to that. The disciples, as we know, as we read through Acts, they did that all the time. They said, hey, you're sinful, repent, and good news is Jesus died, rose again, he can forgive you of that, and can fill you with the Spirit and make your life powerful, where you're able to resist sin and temptation, all that. And so the first thing is to tell others about the good news of Jesus is we've got to tell them of repentance and forgiveness. I heard it once said, I was talking to some pastors, and they once were talking about, man, it's sometimes I don't want to lead with repentance. Or, man, you've got sin in your life and things like that. Because, it turns people off, and you want to tell them the more happy things about Jesus and the good things he can do. And the answer is, I get that. Yeah, you want to tell them about the hope and the wonder and the love and restoration. But they have to know why Jesus came for us. Why did he die? Why do we need a Savior? And it goes all the way back to the beginning. And so we have to include that when we go out and tell others about Jesus. Second of all, when you tell others about Jesus, tell what you know. Tell what you know. Look at Acts chapter 3 here, verses 6 through 9. We just read it, but look at this. It's interesting. It says, "But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he raised him up immediately. His feet and ankles were made strong. What's interesting is Peter didn't give him a theological discourse on the nature of sin. He didn't give him a lesson on this or that. Peter didn't try to fake it. He didn't try to say, "Hey, I'm this rich, educated." He says, "I'm not rich." He didn't try to give him a fish or a boat. What did he give him? He gave them Jesus. That's all Peter had was his life transformed by Jesus. When we go out and tell others about Jesus, give them what you have. Don't fake it. Don't try to be like, "Oh, I'm some super Christian," or "I'm super." If you don't have either, the right theological words, that's okay. It doesn't matter. You can just say, "I know Jesus. I've encountered Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life." You've heard it said before. Sometimes we've talked about this in our discipleship class. The man with the experience is not the man at the mercy with the man at the argument, the ones that are trying to argue. But if you've experienced Jesus, man, you can speak to that and give that to others. And so we want to encourage you today, when you go out and tell others about Jesus, just tell them what you know. You don't have to know all the Bible. Do you have to know all this to tell somebody about Jesus? No. But sometimes we think we've got to know every spiritual thing in here and every verse. No. Give him what you know. And then from there, the Holy Spirit said that he would give you the right words at the right time to speak so that lives are transformed. Because it's not what we know that transforms lives. It's who we know. It's who we know in the person of Jesus that transforms. So the third thing is this. Tell with boldness. Tell with boldness. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. We just read it once again. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, and they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Once again, we know this, but church, we are to go out and tell with boldness. Jesus died for you and you and you and you and you. And he gave each of you the Spirit to overflowing again and again, day by day. And he gave you his written word, the words of God the Father, to know that to guide us and to be with us. You can go out and preach the word with boldness. If I can encourage the church today is go out and be bold. And we don't need any more wussy Christians in the world, in Siouxland. And what do I mean by that? The ones that are going out, Jesus is the Lord, but, and almost apologizing for Jesus and going out being unsure of who Jesus is, or can I really say this? No, go out with boldness and preach the word. God's with you. How many of you would raise your hand today and say, God has transformed my life? He's done something in my life I can testify about. Then what are you scared of? What are you scared of, church? What should we be scared of? People are going to ridicule, make fun of it. Jesus said, Jesus told us 2,500 years ago, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So, but you can overcome all this. You can overcome these people, come over the situation. We need to go out with boldness, and I want to encourage you with that. Go out and be bold. Share your faith. Do it with wisdom. Do it with discernment. And as Peter said, do it with all gentleness and kindness. But go out and be bold as lions. We have nothing to fear. But it's interesting, as you see in the beginning of the church here, I mean, they were bold. They were bold. And that's what caused the word of God to spread like wildfire and what Jesus had done for them. And then lastly is this. Tell no matter what happens around you. Look at verses 18 through 20 here in chapter 4. When we go out and tell others about the good news of Jesus, tell no matter what happens around you. In 18 through 20, it says this. Let's read it. It says, "So they," meaning the Sadducees and the priests, "called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them," remember, they were bold, "whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Tell people about Jesus no matter what's around you. Now, it's been said, right, in our culture, let's get it in our culture. In America right now, in the last 60 years, we have seen this huge pull away from sharing faith in the public realm, right? What do we know? What are we told? Separation of church and state. What are we told? Oh, you can't share, you know, God. You know, you don't talk about politics and money, you know, and your family or at work, right? Don't do any of that stuff, right? Keep it real nice, politically correct, be nice and all this stuff. Church, that is from the pit of hell. There is no separation of church and state in the Constitution, and we can dive into another thing. You have every right as an American to speak the word of God wherever you go. Now, you must do it with all gentleness and respect, but you have every right to speak it. And I'm speaking from a county official. There's many meetings I've been in the county lately where some people have said, "Man, can you really say that? Are you allowed to say that?" And I'm like, "Yep, I can say that because the word of God tells me to be bold. And the word of God says no matter what comes against me, I'm supposed to share my faith and talk about Jesus." Now, we all know if we share, what happens? You got to pay the cost, right? Right? Jesus says, count the cost to follow me. Pick up your cross. But church, I want to encourage us with boldness. We are to go out and share the gospel wherever we are at. And there's not, I think, a better time in America's history, in our own city's history, where we must be bold and take Jesus into every area, every place, and share him. Now, once again, we have all met the Christians that were what we all know, right? The Bible thumpers, right? The ones that did it without love and just tried to ram it down people's throats versus the ones that were bold and solid and committed and were unashamed and spoke the word no matter what. We know the difference, right? But a lot of us, sometimes, we like to go over here and say, well, we want to be like them, so we're going to be this middle. No. We can't be lukewarm. We've got to be bold and on fire and preaching the word and telling people about Jesus. And that is what I want to encourage us today is to be bold, teach about repentance and forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of new life and redemption, restoration and healing. That is all together when we go out and share the gospel. Tell what you know. Don't fake it. Just give what you have, what God has given you, and share that generously. And be bold and keep speaking no matter the opposition that comes against us. No matter the opposition, we have to stand firm and be bold today. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Many of you across the room, you know this. I mean, it's not new. This isn't like, ooh. But you know God wants to use you, but you've just got to go and you've got to open your mouth. Just like Moses. Moses had to go, and Moses stood before the government of Egypt, and he opened his mouth, and what happened? God plundered the government and the people of Egypt to bless his people. And from there became the story of the nation of Israel and the story of our ancient brothers and sisters in the faith and how God delivered them and set them free. But it was all because someone decided to go and open their mouth. And then lastly, we have all this because God the Father decided to open his mouth and said, let there be light. And then he said, I'm going to form you. I'm going to speak things into existence. And we have all this because our Father spoke. We have all this because he spoke. And so we should do not less than what our Father did. But if our Father went and spoke, and the forefathers of the faith went and spoke, we today need to get out and to speak and tell others about Jesus. No matter the cost, it's gonna toll on us. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying you go out and get fired from your job, but however, if you get fired from your job, is God good? He is good. He's faithful to provide. But now, don't be lazy at your job, and then be a Bible thumper, right? Don't do that, right? Work hard, do your job well, speak the truth, do it with all gentleness and respect, but don't back down to the crowd, to the mobs. Don't back down to the enemy that says you can't share, you can't give, you can't preach about you can't pray with someone, because it's just not true. And so with that, let's pray, church. And I pray that we would go out as Crosspoint, we would be bold, and that we would speak the word with gentleness and respect, and that we would just listen and obey. Father, we come before you today, and God, we just say thank you that, God, the disciples were bold. We say thank you that, God, they were full of your spirit, and they went out and they spread the gospel, and it transformed the world. God, we pray today, God, as we go out in your power and in your name, as your ambassadors, that, God, we would speak on your behalf. And God, that we would do it with boldness, because God, we carry the king's letters. We carry the spirit of the king inside of us. And God, that we would go out and speak for you. And God, we would do it with love and respect, God, with honor. But God, we would do it with unapologetic, unashamedness, that you are alive and you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that your word is true, and that Jesus, you are the only way, and that God, you're the only life, and you're the only truth. God, be with Crosspoint today. God, be with and as we speak your name, God, I pray that you would help us to be bold here in Siouxland. Start with us here, God, in our Jerusalem. Help us be bold here and to love people, but God, to speak that, God, you are the only way, and they need you, that they need to repent and be forgiven of their sins, but also that there is a life and life abundantly that is waiting for them in you, Jesus. We say thank you for all you're doing. Go with us today, God. Keep us safe, and we pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen. Amen.